It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks! Nick takes the snap again. Pumps. He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line. Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in from 4 yards out. Manning will throw on first and 10. Heaves one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch, gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, Big Blue Hits, or Kickoff Live. I was on Big Blue Hits yesterday. We got to change the name of these shows. I keep getting confused. It's not good. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, Giants.com, and show's off to a roaring start already as we talk Giants football with you at 201-939-4513, and you can send in your questions on the web via Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Giants and Seahawks just 2 days away, Lance. The Giants looking for their fourth consecutive victory, and there is some movement on the injury front for the Giants. We'll start with the good news first, and that is Michael Boley practiced yesterday, limited, but he looks good for the game. Corey Webster's back from missing practice with his personal reasons, and at first glance, it seemed like good news for Justin Tuck. He was limited in practice for the first time in a while, but then when you saw him talk in the locker room, his tone and mood spoke a very different story.
Yeah, and he's basically contemplating right now whether or not to sit out till after the bye, and you know, I think given the fact that OC's back, he's healthy, so you upgraded that position slightly in terms of your depth chart, and Tolleson clearly is playing great, consistent football, you know, I have to agree with him somewhat. If he wants to go the conservative route at this point and maybe, you know, take it a couple of extra weeks to rest up and get that neck fully healthy, because as I keep pointing out week in and week out, what is the point of going out there and re-aggravating it and then you lose Justin Tuck for 7 or 8 weeks, the bulk of the season, whereas rest him up. You know, you're home for the next 3 games. There's no travel involved. He could slowly rehab, and then you have him go full force for the Dolphins.
And as he said, when he plays, you know, it's not like guys are, you know, taking cheap shots and targeting the neck, but, you know, guys get a hold of the face mask sometime around that line of scrimmage. They'll twist his head, and it's your neck. It's not like it's something you could really protect easily. It's you have to be on a swivel. You can't immobilize the thing. It'll, you know, restrict all of your movement. And the Giants really don't have much of an option, like you said, but to let him heal. And Tuck made that point yesterday. If you go to Giants.com, as MediaVal is up there, folks, you should check it out. In fact, I'm going to bring it up in player for you guys in just a minute. And, you know, Lance, he's always in these press briefings. He does such a good job. He's usually very light and humorous, and, you know, he has some good lines, even when things maybe aren't going so well. But yesterday, you know, he basically said the smart thing to do, and this was his quote, the smart thing to do would be to wait until the bye is over and rest it and wait until play until then.
And I'm sure he's talked with Mathias Kiwanuka, who dealt with, you know, not the same exact neck injury, but a bulging disc last year in which Kiwanuka had to shut it down for the bulk of the season. So, you know, they're very close. I'm sure the two of them have talked. And you know, Kiwanuka, based on what he went through, you know, is probably telling Tuck, listen, take the conservative route. There's no reason to go out there, you know, and then you'll re-aggravate it. And it could, you know, sideline him for the entire season. Why put yourself in that position? I just don't see any gain in that respect.
And we should note that, Tuck, there's no evidence of any sort of structural damage or a bulging disc. It is very important to note that. However, neck injuries are still serious. This burner obviously has been around. I think in the third preseason game is when he injured it against the New York Jets. And it's hung around. You know, it's pain. And also when you have those neck injuries, and you saw David Boss kind of on the sideline when he had his burner last week, and we'll get David Boss after I play this Tuck audio for you. You know, he's kind of shaking his arm. You know, it affects your nervous system. Maybe you're not as strong. I mean, people talked about Peyton Manning when he came back from that neck surgery and he was trying to practice. He couldn't get zip on his ball. Like, he just had no strength. And, you know, that type of neck injury, even if it's just a burner, can affect your ability to play football on the field. Now, I got 3 minutes of Tuck here. I'm going to give it all three because it's pretty powerful stuff if you listen to his tone and you know how Justin usually is with the media. So let's take a little listen here. Justin Tuck addressing the media in the locker room yesterday.
Practice. Yep.
When did you make the decision to change the shoulder pads?
Today. Giving y'all all one-word answers. What's different about the shoulder pads? What have they done specifically to try to help you?
They're tighter.
Is it a new helmet as well?
New face mask.
And is that in response to injury or is that just...
Well, we're just trying to get people to not have as much surface to grab my face, man.
Are they doing that a lot because of your neck?
Well, I mean, they did it before the neck, but it's a little bit more amplified now.
Justin, what's your level of frustration with this whole process?
Look at my face and you answer that question.
Well, I would imagine if you were feeling any better, you would be a little more upbeat.
Well.
Is that a correct assessment?
Your imagination is pretty good.
Justin, excuse my ignorance, but what do tiny shoulder pads do to help the injury?
It just allows you not to move. Well, it restricts your movement.
Hey, let me ask you this. Targeting injuries is nothing new.
No.
Is that gamesmanship or is that cheating? Is that totally unfair that they would go after your head?
Yeah, it's part of the game. We all do it in some capacity.
There's kind of nothing you can do about it, and you know they're coming. And
you got the bye week in 2 weeks. Is it something that if you were to shut yourself down, it wouldn't be an issue for the rest of the season? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, that sounds like a smart thing to do, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know.
Is it something you consider?
Yeah, definitely.
And you'd rather be healthy for 8 games or 9 games, as opposed to...
Well, I'd rather be healthy now, but, I mean, it's no guarantee that if I said I was to the bye week that I'd be healthy the rest of the season. So you just, you know, you just got to go on what you're feeling that day. So that's why they call it day-to-day.
When's been the worst example of somebody grabbing your face mask and laying
it out? I don't know. A lot of them.
What do they do? I mean, how does it happen? How does a ref not see it?
Same way refs don't see holding or pass interference or whatever the call it might be.
They see that.
Well, they didn't throw the flag on a few of them.
It's not my last game to play with the Phillies, so it's obviously got to be one.
Amongst others?
Who?
Said amongst others, I played 2 games this year, and I got face masked in both.
You wouldn't be the first D-line to be listening to me.
It's part of the game.
Wouldn't be the first to say that they played dirty with the Eagles.
I mean, I would say this. When you get an advantage or you feel like you got an advantage over a situation, you try to exploit that, and that's what teams are doing.
And there you have it, folks. Justin talking about his injury and then, of course, successfully dodging the media's attempts to get him to call the Philadelphia Eagles a dirty football team, which obviously is well played by Justin there. And Lance, if I was to make a bet here, and I don't know anything, and you don't know anything, and I would say you're not going to see Justin talk until after the bye against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. You know, you clearly, if you hear it or you watch it, you could tell he's frustrated. That goes without saying. And, you know, you have to understand, this is a competitive football player. You know, he's used to playing at a very high level. You know, he's one of the top pass rushers in the entire league. And he understands that the neck injury limits his capacity to go full force. So, you know, the frustration is building. And if he can't go out there, and like you said, if he's going to second guess before he's about to take a hit or levy a hit on the quarterback, why put him out there? I just don't see any gain from the Giants' perspective. At this point, I think it's better off moving OC and Dave Tollefson back in the mix with Jason Pierre-Paul. You have your dynamic back together in terms of those three, and then Tuck is an added bonus once the bye week comes, and then you're back to your full depth chart.
And one more injury before we get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. That's David Boss. He's suffering from a burner, stinger-type situation as well. He spoke to the media yesterday, said he's getting better, but he didn't sound to me too optimistic about playing on Sunday either.
Well, the benefit is they have a guy in Booth who has playing experience. You know, I think that's something to take away. He's been in multiple positions since he's arrived here with the Giants because of all the injuries they dealt with last season. So you at least have the experience category there. And, you know, once after that play in which Eli Manning got sacked, I thought Booth did a decent job for the most part. I mean, granted, the offensive line still has its issues in terms of opening the holes on the running game, but from a protection standpoint, you know, it's hard to criticize this offensive line. And I know for those of you who pay very close attention to the numbers, you'll notice, you know, Manning's taken 11 sacks. He's taken 16 all of last season. So, you know, the numbers are much higher in terms of the trend than where they were last year. But, you know, given some guys moving into new spots and the fact that they haven't been fully healthy dating back to last season, you can understand they're still working out the kinks on the offensive line. But I think having Booth there is an added benefit.
You know what, Lance? I'll say taking more sacks is a good thing. I think there's almost a direct correlation, and it sounds crazy, between the number of sacks Eli Manning has taken and the fewer interceptions he's throwing, because he's holding the ball a little bit longer. And as Coach Coughlin said in the offseason, take the sack. We'll punt the ball, control field position, and not turn the ball over in our own area. And I think Eli's done that. And I think that's part of the reason why there's been so many more sacks.
Same goes throwing the football away, too.
Right.
You know, no harm in doing that.
Let's go to the phones. Ventures in North Carolina. What's up, Ventures? First caller.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing great.
We love the Giants here in North Carolina. Just want to know what you're thinking about the upcoming game for the Giants and Ahmad Bradshaw's part in it.
Well, I could tell you, Coach Coughlin has made the Seattle Seahawks seem like Super Bowl contenders the way he's talked about them this week. I'm not going to quite go that far, but they're a much – I'll put it this way, Ventress. They're a much better team than what the Giants saw last year. They have 10 new starters on offense as compared to what they had last year. They have a young but very talented offensive line. Tavares Jackson is playing a little bit better. Marshawn Lynch is a good running back. They got a good run defense. Look, the Giants are the more talented team, Ventress, but the Seahawks are not going to roll over and play dead like they did last year.
Okay. Well, about Ahmad Bradshaw, do you see him having longevity in the team?
Well, I mean, listen, he stayed healthy for the most part so far. You know, I know he's had somewhat of an injury history, but I don't see why the Giants can't rely on him long term. He's clearly their top running back. He's a big integral part of the game plan, and I expect them to, you know, if there's anything they're focusing on this week, I mean, you heard John talk about how Tom Coughlin's been preaching how challenging the Seahawks team is going to be, but one of the other things in terms of the Giants side of the football is they want to run this week. You know, they need to get that running game going because it's going to take pressure off of Eli Manning, and clearly, that starts and ends with a guy like Ahmad Bradshaw. I mean, he's shown that he has the versatility, and as long as he stays healthy, I don't see why he can't be a long-term option for them.
Thanks so much. You know, we love listening to you guys talk about ball because you know your ball. God bless.
Thanks, Ventures. We appreciate it. And we wouldn't be here without you, loyal listeners out there. And we appreciate you listening and giving us a call here on the phones on Big Blue Kickoff Live every morning, 9:30 to 10:30 on Giants.com. Lance, myself, Anita, Paul, and Mike all kind of rotate in and out based on the day, and we have a lot of fun. Of course, you can call us at 201-939-4513 or send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go back to the phones. Charles is also in North Carolina. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
What up?
Good, Charles. What's on your mind, man?
Well, I got 2 points, man. Listening, I had one question, but I got two now.
Sure.
Give me a chance, you know.
Go ahead.
Man, you just talked about a running game. You know, we need to run the ball. Well, I think that it starts with Bradshaw. I don't know if Jacobs, is he going to play this week or not?
You know, Jacobs has that swollen knee. There's been no disclosure of the exact nature of the injury, so it's still a little cloudy. Brandon spoke in the locker room yesterday. He didn't want to talk about the injury. What I would say, Charles, it doesn't appear to be serious, but the fact that he hasn't practiced yet this week should be a little bit of a concern. If he doesn't practice today, I'd be very nervous about it. But if I was to guess, I'd say there's slightly better than 50-50 chance he'll go on Sunday.
And, Charles, remember, if there's any position they have the most depth on this team, it's running back. You've got Ware and you've got Darrell Scott, who you could toy with, too, in the event that Jacobs doesn't play, which obviously is still up in the air right now.
That's my point, that you just took the words right out of my mouth. Because I'm not sold on Ware. I don't like him. I got to be honest. He gets in the game. He doesn't break tackles. You know, it's one man to beat. He can't beat him. He looks like his vision. You've been in the league 3-4 years now, man. Let's get it. You know, you gotta develop that vision and be able to take the right cuts and lanes and things of that nature. I didn't see it in preseason. You know, I hadn't seen it last year. You know, 2 years ago, I thought he's about ready to turn the corner. I didn't see it. I thought the other running, what's his name, the State guy.
Oh, Andre Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he looked a lot better in preseason. Darrell Scott showed you what he can do. And you know, I'd rather have Bradshaw and Brown and Darrell Scott. Coughlin got this thing about rookies, man. And you know, these guys, we draft them for a reason. Let's put them out there and let's see what we got. You know, let's give them a chance to mess up. If they mess up, then, you know, hey, it is what it is. But they got clearly has talent beyond, man, he's the fastest running back we got. I mean, we got to find a way to start using some of these guys in different packages and things, man. I think that comes down a little bit for me to kill drive. I call them kill drives, kill drive.
Now, Charles, I understand what you're saying, and frankly, I agree with you on DJ Ware. I think you saw a lot of progress from his first couple of years, and I think that progress has stalled. I haven't seen the same stuff you haven't seen the last couple of years in terms of making plays on kickoff return, which he had the opportunity to do last year. And I think eventually the Giants will transition to those other two guys, Brown and Scott. But I think part of it, and this gets lost in the mix sometimes, Charles, is that things like pass protection, you know, Jacobs and Bradshaw are going to be your first and second down backs. And, you know, Ware comes in on third downs. He's pretty good at blitz pickup. And I'm not sure if they trust Scott and Brown to know the system well enough to protect Eli Manning. And the last thing you want is Eli Manning getting pounded because the running back can't pick up the blitz. That's why Tony Romo missed all of last year, because their fullback, Rob Gronkowski, didn't know how to pick up a blitz and he broke his clavicle. So I think that's part of the reason you're not seeing the young guys, at least right away.
I can understand that. I can appreciate that, man. I mean, I think about this, though. This would be scary. Darrell Scott on a wheel route or something on third down.
Yeah.
Check that guy. I mean, now my other question was, yeah, that would be scary. But my other question was, I know we got, is it Tryon, the cornerback?
Yeah, Tryon, correct, from the Colts. Yeah.
Great move. I looked at his rating up on Madden. he's gonna be a decent guy. He's a little short, but like he's gonna be a decent guy. I'm hoping this week. I know you guys. I've been calling in. You know, I've been harping on this exotic Grant thingamajig that we try to do.
Right.
I'm hoping the third cornerback we can let Antrell Roll be Antrell Roll. We can play this pure cover two defense that the Giants run with peripheral run. Hopefully we can get back to that kind of defense. We can have that true third slot cornerback in there, the dime nickel corner, whatever, in there, and we can, get back to letting Antrell be in the box, move around, be on, you know, make his little interceptions and things of that nature. Man, I'm looking forward to, seeing how this trying guy's going to work out. You know, maybe in a month we get Prince back. We can get back to some of these, you know, we can get back to having Kiwanuka standing up at the line and doing some of the things that was looking good and very promising last year, which I really hadn't seen a lot of that. You know, maybe we get tucked back. I'm just looking to get the whole piece of the puzzle, and then we can truly really see what we got on defense. Man, I think it'll be special once we get tucked back healthy or at least in playing. You know, he can at least play. You know, you get Prince back. We got Tryon now.
All right, Charles, man. I appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, Charles, thanks a lot.
And you know what? I don't think, Charles, you're going to see that third corner in there until you see Prince get back. And that looks like it's not going to happen until after the bye week, which is what we kind of talked about on Monday before Coach Coughlin addressed the media on Wednesday and basically said the same thing. They're going to take their time with Prince, and he'll be back after the bye. Charles, great call. One of our loyal listeners and callers. We love you out there down in North Carolina. Let's go to Brooklyn. Say what's up to David. Brooklyn, what's up in the BK?
David, are you there? All right, David, a man of very few words. So, David, if you hear us, you give us a ring back, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513.
I expect more out of Brooklyn. Yeah, that's a bad job
out
of David.
That's a bad display from the BK,
it
as
is.
We like to call
no
it.
No question. Yeah. Well, Lance and I, by the way, both Brooklyn natives for you folks out there, so we have a soft spot in our hearts for everything and everybody from Brooklyn.
Absolutely. I mean, you
Lance is wearing a Stephon Marbury jersey right now, actually.
Hey, I taught him everything he knows, okay, in the playgrounds of Coney Island.
Now, you did go to Lincoln with your boy Sebastian Telfair, correct?
That's right.
Is it true that he took your point guard spot on the varsity basketball team?
2 years of JV basketball, you know, for nothing.
And then Lance just ended up getting Sebastian Telfair water between his breaks.
Never got my call. Yeah. That's why I went to the broadcast booth. I knew that was my calling.
Lance also, by the way, has an undefeated coaching record in the USBL.
That's true. No, that's the ABA. Let's get the leagues correct.
I'm sorry, the ABA.
ABA.
Wrong, wrong, terrible third-tier basketball league. And that's a story. If things go bad at the end of the year, maybe we'll have conversation.
That's when the listenership dips down below 20% where we start getting into that.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Or you can send in your questions on Twitter to hashtag Giants Chat. Pat Hanlon, by the way, will be down here at 10 a.m.
While we're joking around here,
yes.
If we can maybe take a shot at Anita Marks here.
Heat up the
rivalry.
Don't take a shot,
maybe not
Lance.
Take a shot. But can we just read this tweet so we can put to rest the Terrell Owens-Randy Moss saga?
Okay
how about
got?
That?
Okay, right. Fine. What do you got?
Marcus Erickson writes, with T.O. saying he will be back in a month, please, Giants fans, don't suggest we go get him. He is injured and old, and we are good. I think that should be put up on the Giants website so that people can stop calling for Terrell Owens and his stem cell research saga and, obviously, the Randy Moss thing. I think Victor Cruz has answered his calling, okay? He's going to be given the opportunity moving forward. I think we can rest easy, Giants fans, in terms of the wide receiver issues.
Well, you know what?
And I know she's very high on Terrell Owens. That's the only reason why I brought up Anita Marks. Nothing against her.
It has quieted down a little bit since Victor Cruz has had a couple big games in a row. The Randy Moss, Terrell Owens hype has kind of gone away. Thank goodness we don't have to deal with those phone calls anymore. But it's gone away, and we can all thank Victor Cruz for that because he's been very productive the last couple of weeks. And the other thing I want to talk about, actually, and this story gained some traction on Wednesday when Mario Manningham was kind of short with the media when they asked him about kind of being taken out of the game in the second quarter on Sunday. And Kevin Gilbride did address the media about that situation yesterday, and he basically said, look, we looked at the game tape, and these are his words. Mario Manningham played his best game of the year last Sunday. He said he was open all over the field. Eli, just because of reads or whatever, didn't happen to get him the ball. But they did not bench Mario Manningham because he was not playing well. That was not the reason. So that should quell any fears that Mario might have had that he's, his job's on the ropes or fancying if Victor Cruz is going to take over for him. Manningham is still a huge target. He's a playmaker, and Lance, they're going
to
use him.
And listen, it's easy to watch a football game, John, and you look at the box score or you look at the game log and you judge wide receivers in terms of how many times they were targeted, how many numbers they put up in terms of receptions or receiving yards. But what you just alluded to in terms of what Kevin Gilbride brought up is there's a lot of other things that play a role in terms of how a wide receiver contributes to the team. Blocking, how he runs his routes. Does he draw a double team? Is he open?
Does he make the right reads?
Yeah. And those are things that the coaching staff is taking a look at but may not be clearly evident to the fan base because he's not making catch after catch.
Of course. We have no idea whether a guy's running the route right. We don't know what the play is. Until the coaches tell us the stuff after they look at the game film, we just don't know. Let's go to New Jersey and say hello to Latrice. Latrice, what's up?
Hi. I would like to know, why do Eli hold the ball so long before he throw it?
Well, you know what, Latrice, I think this is something that the coaching staff spoke to him about in the offseason. Last year, as you well know, he threw a lot of interceptions, more than 25, and it was a big problem throughout the year. And the coaching staff has told him, rather than rushing the ball out and forcing it into coverage, hold on to it for a couple more seconds. And if that happens turn into a sack, we'll deal with it, we'll punt the ball away, we'll win the field position battle, and we'll win the game with our defense. They're really trying to cut down on his turnovers, Latrice, and part of that is holding on to the ball a little bit longer so he doesn't have to throw into coverage.
Okay.
All right, Latrice, thanks for
appreciate
the call.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Stick on the phones. George is up in Albany, New York. What's up, George?
How you doing, bud?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. I was wondering, with Brandon Jacobs having the swollen knee and all, and the Giants trying to improve on their running game, if there might be a chance that maybe some of the fans will see their rookie Darrell Scott play to try to improve his running game. I think this next week and coming off the bye week will be a good time to put him in to see what he could do.
Well, I think we'll see if Jacobs is active. As Lance and I spoke about, I'd say it's about a 50-50 shot right now. We'll see if he practices today, which I think will be a real good indication as to whether or not he's going to go on Sunday. And if he doesn't go, I think you will see Darrell Scott in a very limited way. I think the two major running backs, as Lance mentioned before, will be Ahmad Bradshaw and DJ Ware.
Well, listen, I'm going to pick up on something you said earlier, John, and this is something I even overlooked. The blocking, which has been an issue in terms of protecting Eli Manning and setting up the running game, I think is probably something that the coaches are going to think twice about before putting in a young guy like Scott. Because, Bradshaw and Jacobs have had plenty of reps, plenty of years under their belt in terms of pass protection. And it's easy to put in the flashy guy that can maybe break the big tackle, but if Darrell Scott cannot pass protect correctly, you know, you sacrifice a bit in terms of your long-term protection throughout the course of the game. So that's another thing to keep in mind about whether or not they'll immediately throw Darrell Scott into the mix. The other thing is, you know, and this was brought up by a few other callers that we got today, rookies, for the most part, probably with the exception of the linebacker core, because they obviously got thrown into the mix given all the injuries that the Giants suffered in the beginning of the season. But, you know, they're brought in to make an impact on special teams. And in my opinion, if Darrell Scott wants to make a name for himself on this team, he's going to have to do it on special teams before they maybe give him a larger role in the running game. And a lot has to do because of the depth chart.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the Giants have a lot of talented people at running back, and they like the guys that they have. There's a reason DJ Ware made the team. If the Giants didn't like DJ Ware, he wouldn't have been on the roster.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. John, we've got a couple of questions on Twitter. This is from Clara_88, getting more to the angle of what the Seahawks present this weekend. Do you guys think the Seahawks this Sunday can really be a threat? Well, you know, if you look at the Falcons game, and this team, I think, has drastically improved from week to week. If you look at what they produced week one to what they produced last week, they are a very good team in adjusting after the second half. And I think that was very evident last week.
Well, if you're adjusting after the second half, that's after the game.
I'm sorry,
over.
Adjusting
that,
after
that,
halftime.
That might not be the best strategy.
You have issues with the name of this show. I have issues with what's coming out of my mouth. Anyway, after the half, in terms of they were down by, you know, three touchdowns at the break with the Falcons, and Matt Ryan torched the secondary for the Seahawks, but, you know, Tavares Jackson got good protection in the second half, scored three touchdowns. So clearly, you know, this offense has taken some time to generate consistent production. There are two things that I would say to watch out for the Seahawks. Number one is Jackson's mobility combined with whether or not he gets good pass protection, because they've given up 14 sacks in the first three games, the Seahawks. He was not sacked at all last week against the Falcons. That's why I think he had tremendous success running up the field and making plays. If you give your quarterback time to drop back, he's going to have time to throw it down the field. The other X factor is the play of Zach Miller, who's been completely absent due to injuries. He put in a full practice yesterday despite the knee and ankle injuries. He could be a big playmaker. There's a reason they threw a lot of money at him in free agency coming over from Oakland. That's a guy that has not been involved. He's a key guy that clearly can attack the heart of the Giants linebacker core.
Yeah, no question. You got Doug Baldwin, the undrafted rookie out of Stanford, who they use in the slot. He'll be all over that middle of the field as well. We talked about Sidney Rice already. Mike Williams with the concussion. We'll see if he's able to play on Sunday. He's their big possession receiver. So the Seahawks really do have a pretty good balanced offense. And Lance, you mentioned they're getting better every week. And Tavares Jackson played the best half of football he's played all year against the Falcons last week. Now, granted, Atlanta was up, I think, 28-6 or 28-3 at the half. And I'm sure they put a lot of prevent, and that's what allowed the Seahawks to get a lot of their yards. But the one stat you mentioned is that their halftime adjustments have been great. The Seahawks have outscored opponents 45-30 in the second half this year. And of those 30 points they've allowed, 14 came on return touchdowns on special teams. So their defense has only allowed 16 points in the second half, including one touchdown. So that is very impressive by the Seahawks defense. Their front seven is good. They can stop the run. So I guess to sum this all up for Maria, who sent in the question, the Seahawks are better than they were last year. Are they going to make it to the Super Bowl? No, but it will not be a game where the Giants can just, you know, show up and play. They're going to have to bring their A game. Back to the phone, Sergio's New Jersey. What's up, Serge?
Yes.
What's up?
How are you today?
Doing good, Sergio. Serge.
Just had a quick question. I mean, I'm a Giants fan for about 12 years already, and it seems like every time we play a team, it's like we're hanging in just by a thread of a needle. And it seems like we just make it with teams that don't even have a passing offense. What are we going to do when we play like the Patriots or a team that actually does have all those passing threats, especially with the safeties and corners that we have?
I think hanging by a thread is probably a little bit of an overstatement. I mean, the Giants have played extremely well the last 3 weeks. They've won three straight games. That can't be underestimated. And look, are there injury concerns? Sure. But every team in the NFL has injuries. It's part of the league. You got to play through them. You got to move on. And the Giants have more than enough talent this week if they don't make mistakes to beat the Seattle Seahawks, Serge. Honestly, they do.
Awesome, awesome. And I mean, that's what I want to hear.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call, man.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com every weekday morning from 9:30 to 10:30. And now every Friday we're joined by our very special guest, the Giants' Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hale. And after the week off, I'm sure he's a lot of material saved up for this week's show. Pat, how you doing?
Outstanding, man. Good to see you. The weather must be changing outside. It's not as hot in here. Must be cooler.
We invested in a fan or two, apparently.
Nice. Nice.
Nele finally paid his bill, is what happened.
Nele's budget tripled.
Yeah, exactly, which actually isn't that far from the truth from what I hear. All right, Pat, let's start with this.
You guys been talking about this morning?
We've had a lot of different stuff going on, but one thing we've talked a lot about is Justin Tuck. And for a little while yesterday, you know, he practiced limited. Everyone was pretty excited about that. But then you saw him speak in the locker room, and it seemed like a guy that after practice figured, you know what, I might not be able to play here because my neck's bothering me. What was your take on how that whole thing went down yesterday?
Yesterday was no different than the last couple weeks have been. And all you have to do is listen to Justin or read what he says in the newspaper, and you can hear how frustrated he is by the fact that, you know, he's dealing with these nagging, lingering issues with both the groin and the neck. You know, I think yesterday he got frustrated because people assumed that his neck was what was bothering him after practice, and I think it was actually his groin that was the issue. So, you know, nobody wants to be out there more than Tuck, and he wants to be out there at 100% and full speed, and he just hasn't really since the Jets isn't that when he suffered the initial burn?
Yeah, I believe it was.
In the Jets preseason game, you know, it's been kind of just one thing after another, and it's nagging and it's lingering. And, you know, even he said yesterday, yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, maybe you rest it and maybe it feels better, but that's just it. Maybe it feels better. So, you know, you're mentally, psychologically, you're wrestling with, you know, should I just keep playing through this or should I take a break? And so that's kind of where we are. The fact I just talked to your head coach, Tom Coughlin, before I came down here, and Tuck was in pretty good spirits this morning. So he must feel good today. We'll see. It truly is a day-to-day thing.
We played the audio for the fans out there from the locker room yesterday, and the one thing I thought was interesting, and fans, you know, they usually don't get to hear. The fans hear the sound bites; they don't hear the questions and the back and forth.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, I'm sure you listened to it, Pat.
No,
Well, the media really tried to get him to call the Eagles a dirty team by, like, grabbing on his face mask and twisting his head and everything. And obviously Justin said, which is the truth, that that's just part of the game.
He's not – people, it's weird because, you know, people, fans think that there should be full disclosure on injuries. Some fans do, I should say. And we're obligated by the league from a competitive standpoint to file an official injury report each week. And it has to be accurate in terms of who's injured to the point where it's going to impact their ability to play and what body part it is of theirs that's injured. And but Tuck is right in that when somebody has an ankle, somebody has a knee, somebody has an elbow, somebody has an arm, a neck, the other team is aware of that because there's an injury report. And they target it. And that's not unique to the Eagles. That's not unique to the Giants. That's the way the game – that's part of the game that's being played. We don't go into detail beyond what's required for that very reason. We don't want to make body parts a target for the opponent and give them an advantage. So, Tuck, I didn't get the sense just based on what I read. I didn't hear it. Based on what I read, I didn't get the sense that he was singling anybody out or any team out.
No, not at all.
And listen, we all know that there are teams in this league that are more aggressive when it comes to that kind of thing than others, but it's the nature of the beast. I mean, that's what you know, that's part of our game.
And that relates to a couple of weeks ago when the Cowboys and the Redskins played on Monday night. I mean, listen, D'Angelo Hall came out, made it no secret. They were going to target Romo's ribs, and they were going to go after Felix Jones' shoulder.
Well, you would if you know, if the other team is talking about the quarterback's ribs all week, you know.
Not a bad idea.
You just want to make sure that they're okay. You're helping. You're doing a public service for that guy, making sure they're fine.
Pat, listen, I'm sure Justin Tuck wants to do everything he can to get back on the football field, but given the way Tollefson's been playing the last couple of weeks and the fact that OC is now back in the mix, how much flexibility does that give the Giants in being perhaps a bit conservative with their approach to rush Tuck back?
Well, you're not going to rush him back. I mean, that's, you know, there's a medical aspect to this thing, and then there's the competitive aspect of the individual. He's not going to you don't rush through the medical part of it. In other words, he either physically can or cannot play. And then, you know, if it's one of those things that's a close call and it's the guy's choice, then obviously his competitive nature is a part of the equation as well. But you're going to be smart. You're not going to put one of your guys in a compromising position if you're risking further injury. Listen, Ernie, of course, he said it several years ago. You can never have enough pass rushers. So enough pass rushing defensive ends. A guy's physical abilities, a guy's physical status is not dependent on whether or not people at his position are playing well or not playing well. You know, either the guy can play or he can't play. Obviously, if he can play and he's close to 100%, we're a better team because he's a great player. But the fact of the matter is as we've seen time and time again so far this season, you know, when we lose outstanding players, somebody else has to step up and get the job done, and Tollefson is the poster child for that at defensive end. We have other poster children at other spots, but Tollefson at defensive end is a guy who stepped up and taking advantage of his opportunities.
Now, we might see another one of those poster children this week, Kevin Booth, who might have to step in at center for David Boss. We'll see. Any update on him? And, of course, how about Brandon Jacobs, who's battling that swollen knee?
Boss and Jacobs are both day-to-day. You know, Jacobs has said that, you know, Jacobs is one of those guys that is chomping at the bit to get back out on the field, and the medical staff has not yet cleared him to get back out there. Listen, Booth, what Booth is doing and what Booth did last week in Arizona, where Boss has to come out of the game and Booth has got to step right in and not miss a beat, he's done that time and time again. That's why this offseason, I said this on Giants Online, which premieres tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on MSG. I said this week when we taped the show, you know, while the media was getting all excited about the fact that Kevin Boss went to Oakland and Steve Smith went to Philly and Plexico Burress signed with the Jets and what are the Giants doing, blah, 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 blah. Kevin Booth was a priority. And Kevin Booth was a priority for the exact reason that we saw in Arizona last week. Look at how many teams around the league are having offensive line issues with their five guys, all right? And we obviously have a new group up front, a reshuffled deck along the offensive line. We lose a key component, the center, and Kevin Booth steps in and we keep moving. That's why he was a priority for us to re-sign this year, because that guy can step in at center, he can step in at guard, he gives us great flexibility, and he performs well when he's forced to go in.
Pat, we have a full bank of phone calls from you.
Giant
fans are
just dying. Let's go, because I'm tired of talking to you. I can
dying to talk to the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon.
We have two calls.
We have four.
Oh.
Let's go to New Hampshire. Phil.
You didn't have to identify the actual number.
Who's up in New Hampshire? What's up? Well, four is the most we can have, so that's a good number.
You
What's
didn't
up,
have
Phil?
To say that either.
What's up, Phil?
Yes, I'm going to get right into it. The question I have is that it appears, you know, that the Giants are – sometimes perhaps too patient with either their drafted or undrafted free agents and cultivating them along. Case in point, Beckham and DJ, where, you know, certain players kind of jump out at you at the screen. You don't have to be there, I think, in person to see. Jonathan Goff kind of jumped out. Even though he didn't listen spectacular his first year, you can see little things of, oh, this guy has some promise here. And in the same for, and as opposed to say like the Brian Kuehl who didn't have that it factor. And when you look at Ware and Beckham, they don't look like they have that it factor. Now Scott, obviously, it's kind of blatant. But so my question is, you think we're perhaps too patient with some of these free agent and draft and undrafted picks?
Pat, go ahead.
Usually you get accused of being impatient with people. Listen, you can never be too patient with talent. And I would disagree on Beckham especially. From your perspective, from a fan's perspective, you see what you see during the games. Obviously, from a coach and player personnel perspective, they see these players day in and day out, during practice, when we have an off season, during the off season, so they see these guys a lot more than any of the rest of us do. Beckham has ability; he has unique ability. His issue has been staying healthy and staying on the field consistently, so that he can develop and grow as a player. But you can never be too patient with talent. Beckham is talented. I would disagree with you on DJ Ware, though, because whenever we've put him in the game, first of all, you got to remember he's playing behind Bradshaw and Jacobs, so his opportunities are going to be limited. And Danny Ware has got, when he's gotten in the game, he's done a good job. In fact, it was a year ago in Seattle, and granted, we had a huge lead in the game, so that's when you're going to take Bradshaw and Jacobs out of the game. And Danny Ware, and if I'm not mistaken, we had Sage Rosenfels, that was his only game at quarterback last year. I believe we ran 15 plays, and Danny Ware probably ran the ball on 10 of them.
I think it was like a 9-minute drive or something like that.
Yeah, and we drove, which is exactly what you want to do when you have a huge margin and an advantage in the fourth quarter. You want to keep the ball on the ground and pound it out, and Danny Ware was the guy that did that for us last year. So, and Scott, the rookie running back who had the big runs in the preseason, he's learning the game right now. There's no question that he's explosive. But you can't, especially at the running back position, you can't put a kid in there that does not have the understanding that's required in the pass game until he's ready. Or else then you're going to have a lot of
You have to protect Eli Manning.
You're
going to
have a lot of other issues. Yeah.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Let's go back to lines. We got Adam in New York City. Adam, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Just a quick question for you, more about the running game and more about Brandon Jacobs. I feel like I saw him a lot more when Eli used him in the passing game against, especially with the Eagles, passing to him with some screen passes and stuff. If he's not ready to play this week, what do you think, how will that affect the team? And do you think Bradshaw and DJ Ware will be able to step up?
Yes. How's that for an answer? Listen, Bradshaw has we haven't gotten our running game on track yet. Bradshaw yesterday in talking about that talked about the fact that, listen, we haven't gotten the number of touches in the running game yet that we're going to get eventually. And, Kevin Gilbride, the offensive coordinator, also talked about the fact that over the long haul, all these things balance out. Right now, there's no question that teams are trying to take away the run because that's what we do. All right, so they've taken away the run, and Eli Manning has only probably played the best three-game stretch that he's played in his entire career because he's had to, because the running game has been ineffective, both because of a lack of execution and also because it's a focus of the defense.
Yeah, it's funny. Kevin Gilbride said that too, and he also mentioned that it's a tough balance because in order to run the ball effectively, you need to establish a rhythm with the running game and run it a lot. But at the same time, it's hard to run the ball a lot when you're not getting the yards that you want to gain. So there's a very precarious balance that you have to find offensively of how much you have to stick with the run before you say, look, this isn't working. We got to go to the air.
Offense is rhythm. All right, that's what it is. And, you know, listen, we don't ever go into a game thinking that that the ideal plan necessarily is to have Eli throw the ball 40 times. Well, that's what we were forced into last week. Again, because of our own lack of execution and because Arizona has a heck of a front, defensive front.
And so does Seattle, too, by the way.
And so does Seattle. So, you know, you see – the great thing is we have an offense that's versatile enough to adjust to whatever, you know, it's just, this is a cliche, but it's true. You take what the defense gives you. And eventually we'll get to the point where teams see that we can hurt them and be effective throwing the ball, and then they're going to back out of there, and then we're going to start to run it. So, and all these, again, it's the ebb and flow of the season.
And if there's any position on this team in which the Giants have the most depth, it's certainly at the running back spot. Let's head back to the lines. We got Nick in Connecticut. Nick, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind?
On the radio. Yeah, I was wondering how come the Giants aren't as aggressive as they are all game as they are in the fourth quarter of these games.
In what way?
Well, you know, they scored one touchdown, you know, the entire three quarters of the last game of the Arizona, and you know, the fourth quarter comes along and they score two within, what, 2 minutes? You know, I just don't understand why we can't play like that all game.
Well, Nick, and it's funny. We actually get these calls all the time. I'm sure Pat fields these questions, too. Why not go no huddle the whole game, just throw it every time? You can score, you know, two touchdowns every quarter and you get to put a 56.
No, I was going to say that, listen, if the other team will let us score two touchdowns every minute that we have the ball, we'll take it. We'll, you know, the other guy's got something to do with that. And, the other thing I would say is it's not like we haven't opened a game with no huddle, right? Was it which game was it, Washington or Philly?
I believe Philly we opened no
huddle.
Philly,
right?
Yeah, you're correct.
So, I mean, that is a strategy that we employ, although, was it the Rams game? Yeah,
Rams
it was the
game?
Rams game.
That's
against,
right.
Against Spags defense.
Monday night.
Where we came out and we went no huddle to limit the other team's ability to change personnel and substitute. And, you know, the no huddle at the start of the game is not the same no huddle that you see
right.
in a 2 minute drill. It's two different concepts.
In a 2 minute, you're not going to run the ball as much because obviously
right.
the clocks, you got the time concerns and all that stuff. And by the way, now we know Pat Hanlon's appeal is international because we're going out to Germany and we're saying hello to Craig. Craig, what's going on, pal?
Craig, what's on your mind? Craig?
Craig, come on, buddy.
Well, apparently.
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. What's up, Craig?
Yeah, sorry, man.
No worries.
How you guys doing?
What's up? Good.
Hey, I just wanted to see what kind of updates we had on Dominic Hixon and Justin Tuck.
Hixon, how about him, Pat? I know he's obviously has he undergone surgery yet on that
knee?
I don't
know the answer to that question. If he hasn't, you know what? Actually, I think he has. I'm sorry. I think he underwent surgery last week. And listen, he's in for, unfortunately for him and for us, but mostly for him, he is in for the same long haul that he, you know, that he had to go through a year ago when he had the exact same injury. You know, just like Terrell Thomas, Hixon knows what he's in for. You know, if a guy tears his ACL and has never done that before or never had an injury that required a long-term rehab, they don't know what they're in for. But guys like Hixon and Terrell Thomas, unfortunately, do know what they're in for. And both of them are the same type of personalities in that they are hardworking, dedicated, committed people. And they're going to do everything they can to come back at full strength next season. And then Tuck, we talked about it earlier. Tuck is basically day-to-day with, you know, with nagging, lingering, groin, and neck issues.
All right, Craig, man. We appreciate the call away from Germany, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Take care. Pat, as always, excellent work. We thank you, sir, for your time and your consideration.
Have a good weekend. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. 84 degrees.
84, huh?
One o'clock game, MetLife Stadium. Life doesn't get any better. Seattle Seahawks coming in. Right, Neely? You're fired up, right? Yeah, I can see it.
All right, Pat. Thanks
All
a
right.
lot, man.
All thank
right, Pat,
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Giants' fantastic Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon, on Giants.com. We thank him for his time every Friday. Does a great job. 201-939-4513. Great job on the phones, everybody. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, 10 more minutes or so here left in our show. And before we get to our picks, which we always close our show with on Friday, let's quickly go to Mr. Melroy here, and we can talk to him about his fantasy selections as we move forward here in week number 5. Melroy, what are some of your sleepers and not extremely obvious selections heading into this Sunday's game?
Hey, everyone. How's it going? Some of the sleepers this week, a quarterback, if anyone paid attention to yesterday's show, Anita Marks picked Cam Newton as our number one quarterback this week, so I like him as a sleeper going against New Orleans. Greg Williams sends a bit of a blitzing defense. He hasn't done quite as well against the blitzing defense, but I think his weapons will get open.
So you
for
did
him.
So poorly last week. You're just lifting other people's selections
yeah,
now.
No,
that's what's
exactly
happening.
That's exactly what I'm
doing. Okay.
Yeah, no, you figured it out. At running back, we're going to go Ryan Matthews. Their coach said that Ryan Matthews expects to get 20 to 25 touches a game. That's including his receptions, which he's actually doing equally as well with receiving yards as he has rushing yards. I like Ryan Matthews this week going against Denver. Another running back I want to mention quickly is Steven Ridley versus the Jets. Guy reminds me a lot of a guy we faced last week, Beanie Wells. I just think New England's going to get a lot of points. I think Steven Ridley will do pretty well.
What's the Danny Woodhead update this week? Is he going to play?
I don't know if he's going to play. He is definitely banged up, so don't bank on him in any of your
leagues.
And
one of the reasons Ridley might be a factor because Woodhead is a little injured.
They are very different runners at the same time. But
snaps
but
are snaps.
Exactly, John. Wide receiver sleeper this week, I like A.J. Green going against Jacksonville, and I like Malcolm Floyd going against Denver.
All right, those are two sleepers. I like that. It's
not
bad.
We don't know the status of Vincent Jackson this week. I still think he'll play, but even if he does, Champ Bailey should shadow him, which should leave Malcolm Floyd.
Remember, last year, Vincent Jackson was questionable. He ended up getting 3 catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown, so he can play through injuries.
He basically did that last week, too. Tight end, is that what you just said?
Yes.
My bad.
Precisely.
At tight end, we got Tony Gonzalez going against Green Bay. He's putting together a really good season at, like, age 57. Our locks at quarterback this week are Matt Stafford going against the 29th-ranked passing defense in the Chicago Bears.
They have a nice pass rush, though, Melroy. Don't discount the Bears' pass rush.
I'm okay with my pick of Matt Stafford.
All right.
At running back, we have Fred Jackson going against Philly. They basically don't have a defensive line or linebackers in Philadelphia.
Trent Cole is out, by the way.
Yes, so Fred Jackson should do real well. Big Blue's going to like this one. At wide receiver this week, no pressure on him, but Hakeem the Dream Nicks going against Seattle should do pretty well for you. Manningham's back healthy, so is Victor Cruz, but I think Hakeem Nicks should do pretty well, especially if he's going against Marcus Trufant, who, according to Paul DeTino, who knows everything about football, has lost a little bit of a step.
Well, you know, he's been in the league a long time, but he still knows what he's doing, and I guarantee the Seahawks, after watching the tape last week, will probably roll some coverage over to Hakeem Nicks' side, and they'll force Victor Cruz or Mario Manningham to beat them.
And
we'll
their
see,
safeties
though.
Are pretty
no
strong.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Chancellor.
Earl,
who's
Earl Thomas, too.
Chancellor, who Thomas. I'm not sure if he practiced yesterday. He did not practice on Wednesday, Chancellor.
Actually,
he's dealing with a quad.
Actually, I got the injury report up. Chancellor was limited yesterday.
He was, okay, so he did practice. He's like a 6'2", 240 safety. He's a big dude.
He's a beast.
Force in the running game. Good against the pass, too. We know about Earl Thomas, the high pick last year, an excellent safety.
Yeah, good coverage guy, too, or that Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
And then at tight end, we got Rob Gronkowski going against the Jets. We talked about Ed Dickinson last week. He got 14 targets for the Baltimore Ravens against the Jets. So I think that tight end is really a spot that is a weakness for the Jets defense in covering. So I think Rob Gronkowski should continue his dominance this week. And that's your fantasy update. I'm Dave Melroy. See ya.
Thank you, Mr. Melroy. I appreciate it. That was tight. That's a good job out of you. You didn't go too long there. You kept it tight. You did a good job. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Lance, let's go through our picks here. I should update the pick standings before we mosey down this road.
Yes, we don't want to pass over that.
No, how can we?
Why don't you remind all of us of how great we're all doing?
3 weeks of picks, and I am in the lead at 10-5. Lance is foundering at 8-7. barely over the 500 mark, and he will struggle this week to remain over that 500 mark.
The head is above water. That's all that counts.
And Lance did lose his upset special pick last week, by the way, with the Colts coming up short.
Hey, they controlled the tempo of that game until the fourth quarter.
That doesn't pay the bills, Lance Meadow.
I know it
doesn't.
I'm making excuses here.
Do you know what did pay the bills? The Bengals beating the Buffalo to give the Bills their first loss of the year. That does pay the bills.
After the entire Giants staff convinced you not to go with your original upset pick,
convinced would not be the word. It would be forced. So you guys have no one to blame but yourselves for that one. All right, let's go to the games this week. We pick four games out of the same close ones. Then we pick one upset special each, which, of course, you guys can bank on those. Yeah, right. First, Eagles-Bills, a division game. Obviously, that's important for the Giants. The Bills coming off that loss last week to Cincinnati, a classic trap game for them last week. And the Eagles just can't win a game. I mean, they are struggling. They're in last place. They're 1-3, Lance. And to me, you got to look at the Eagles like they're going to get their act together eventually. And the Bills are a tough team to get their act together against. They're on the road in Buffalo. But you got to think the Eagles can do enough to finally win their second game of the year, even without Trent Cole.
Well, Michael Vick has had trouble against teams that have strong pass rushes that are able to get to him consistently. And the Bills don't fit that criteria. That's why I think this game bodes pretty well for Philly in terms of getting back on track. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game regardless because clearly Fred Jackson's going to take advantage of a very suspect linebacker core for Philly. And, you know, keep in mind, Ryan Fitzpatrick's been productive, maybe with the exception of last week. I think the Bengals did a nice job containing him. But there's no reason why, you know, a guy like David Nelson out of the slot could have a big game because, you know, he's not going to go match up against guys like Nnamdi Asamoah, you know, on the outside. So he may rely on his short passes, guys like Scott Chandler, the tight end.
I think it's time for that Eagles secondary to earn their keep.
They do.
They really need to because they have not been dominant back there.
One of the things that, you know, Philly's coaches alluded to during the week I was listening to is that, you know, Nnamdi has been forced to play in certain packages. At least, you know, maybe that's just them making excuses for him.
But they haven't sort of let him...
you know, free or out of his cage, if you want to put it that way. And maybe this is the week that they get back to what he did so strongly with the Raiders, which line him up against your best wideout and shut him down, period.
And the other thing, too, that we didn't mention, you know, you mentioned their linebackers. Their safeties, really, they're fine. They're not bad players, but they're not great players either. They never replaced Quentin Michael, who obviously went to St. Louis in the offseason, who was a very legit top-notch NFL safety. And they have Kirk Coleman back there. Nate Allen, his knees still bother him. He's limited. Page is back there. I mean, these guys are not world beaters, and I think that affects the way the corners can play. They don't have the confidence in the guys behind them to cover over the top. So, Lance and I both like the Eagles in that one, correct?
And we should note, the Eagles are the only other team from the division in action this week because the Cowboys and the Redskins are both on bye.
Excellent point. Let's move on. Let's go to the AFC now. Talk about the Raiders and Texans. Texans coming off a huge win against Pittsburgh. They have the Ravens next week. It's a classic trap game, just like the Bills were last week, losing to the Bengals. So I will stick with that, and I think Oakland will find a way to run the ball effectively against what can be a suspect Texans defense. Look for a big game out of Darren McFadden, and I think the Raiders will upset the Texans in Houston.
Yeah, McFadden only had 14 carries in the loss last week. One of the reasons was because the Patriots got out to such a big advantage. But, you know, the loss of Andre Johnson, maybe on paper, you know, doesn't say that it's going to kill the Texans necessarily because they have spread the ball and they have spread the wealth this year. They have a lot of tight ends that have emerged.
Owen Daniels,
you know,
had a nice year.
And they have, you know, Kevin Walter, Jacoby Jones are getting healthy. So I'm not going to go out and say that the Texans offense is going to struggle tremendously, but I do like the Raiders, how they feed off of not only McFadden, but keep in mind Jacoby Ford's now healthy. And the Raiders do an excellent job of not necessarily seeing what the defense gives them, but putting their playmakers in the right position and riding the two of them. And I think that will equate into a victory this week.
Let's stick in the AFC, Steelers and Titans. The Titans have played fairly well this year. Chris Johnson finally got going last week, had a 100-yard game. The Steelers, on the other hand, are dealing with all sorts of injuries. Harrison's going to be out. Ben Roethlisberger's going to try to play with that foot injury.
And Mendenhall's a question mark, too.
And yeah, Mendenhall's
Isaac
a question
Redmond
mark
will
as
likely
well.
Start.
Correct. And even with all that said, I think the Steelers have a bounce-back win after losing to Houston next week. I think they come out here, and I think they beat the Titans.
I like the Titans. You know, I mean, I think Chris Johnson has finally gotten over the hump.
You think they can run the ball in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, listen, Arian Foster ran wild last week.
He did. That's
you
true.
Know? I mean, listen, I understand Pittsburgh's got a good track record, but Harrison's not in there. Broke his orbital bone. You know, he's one of their dominant pass rushers. He's also very good in, offside tackles. I like the opportunity here for Chris Johnson to still have a good game. The other thing to note is Pittsburgh's got a lot of injuries on their offensive line. It is not nearly as good as it's been over the last couple of years. That's one of the reasons why Roethlisberger has been getting hurt so much, because he's been getting hit. So I like Tennessee's pass rush, too, in this game. I'm going to go with the Titans, and that's going to be a game where I'm going to gain some leverage on you.
That's a little head-to-head as I will expand my lead over Lance Meadow. And now we're going to go another game. Well, Lance doesn't know he's been picking in this game yet, but I know I'm going to go with the Bears on Monday Night Football against the Lions. The Lions obviously have been the cardiac kids this year. A big comeback last week against the Dallas Cowboys, which made Giant fans all over the world extremely happy. I think eventually something's got to give with the Lions. They can't keep getting down big in these games. The Bears are a good football team. I think you saw what was a very porous Lions defense last week get exposed by the Dallas Cowboys, who had 27 points in the third quarter. If not for those picks, the Cowboys would win that game by 30. It would have been a blowout. So I think the Bears, even though it's in Detroit and it's a tough game, I think the Bears will do enough to control the Lions' offensive attack through the air, and I think they will take advantage of the Lions' defense. Another big game for Matt Forte.
Well, I think that it's, like you said, Forte, really, it starts and ends with him, but don't underestimate the impact that Marion Barber can now bring to the table. He's healthy.
Well, you love Marion the Barbarian. Wow.
But you know what? There's so much pressure being put on Forte now. He's not only a runner, but a receiver, because Cutler doesn't have a lot of time to run the football. It gives them some versatility. And I think if anything is proven in the NFL, teams that have two-headed monsters in the backfield that play different roles, via the Giants and some other teams, have success. I know it hasn't shown up for Giants, and Giants fans got to still be patient in that area. So I like the advantage of bringing Barber back into the mix. And another thing real quickly to throw out about this game, all the talk about how Nick Fairley, their top pick, is going to return. Okay, Nick Fairley, dealing with a foot injury, is not going to come in and play every single snap for the Lions.
That's like some vitriol. What's your deal with Nick Fairley?
No, I don't know. I just want to – I'm sick and tired of hearing the media.
Oh, wow.
You know, just like we were tired about the whole Tony Romo saga.
What?
You know, last week we brought
Why
that
Why are you
in.
Staring at Dave Melroy
I was staring
you
at
that.
You. Don't mistake in that. You know, Melroy's actually in my, you know, good corner this time. I my eyes are on you this time.
I've got
comeback written all over my face here.
Wow,
this week,
you are determined.
Well, I am. And that's why it hurts me to pick the Bears here, because conventional wisdom would prove that I should pick the team you don't pick to gain some leverage. But I still need to go with the X's and O's. And at the end of the day, I do like the Bears, because I think the Lions' defense is going to catch up with them.
Well, a place where you can always gain some ground is on our upset specials every week. And I'll lead off with the upset specials. And I think...
By the way, did you pick a game first before you made this choice? Let's just set the record straight here.
No, because, okay. I know that for some reason, for you uneducated folks, they don't let me use the favorites and underdogs as proposed by the mathematical geniuses down in Las Vegas to decide favorites and underdogs here. So I have to clear my picks with the clown committee over here to make sure that they fit as upsets. But no, this was my first selection this week, and I'm going to go with the Falcons at home over Green Bay. I think the Falcons, much like the Eagles, are going to have a bounce-back game here. They barely beat Seattle last week. Green Bay's had problems in the secondary this year. Their pass defense has been suspect. I think Matt Ryan, a big day through the air. Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, Melroy mentioned them earlier. I think those guys can all have big games this week for Atlanta. I think they upset Green Bay on Sunday Night Football.
You better hope that Falcons D has an answer for Aaron Rodgers. That's all I'm going to say. Because, you know what? Matt Ryan and company are going to have a lot of points they're going to need to keep up with.
That is going to be an explosive offensive game.
Will
that
indeed.
Is going to be a lot of points in that game, Lance. Now, what's your
my upset
cowardly
special,
upset special it, it here? Is, it's cowardly.
It is cowardly. Well, I'm not going to deny it. I had a hard time looking through your mathematical geniuses there who put the spreads out. I actually have the Bengals over the Jaguars at home. I mean, that clearly is going to be an offensive shootout. I mean, it's got a 50-point offensive clinic written all over it. I'm probably going to go for like a 13-10 final, and we're going to have a Mike Nugent game-winning field goal written all over this game. But I don't like Jacksonville one bit. I think their offense is extremely suspect, which is my new favorite word.
Apparently
and I know
it is.
Melroy completely disagrees with me because he is the big Jags fan in this place. But I like the Bengals. I do. I think this is the last opportunity for Cedric Benson to make some noise before clearly he's probably going to be suspended by the league and watching from the sidelines. But you know, Andy Dalton's made some strides. As this is very comical to all of you.
I'll be honest.
I'm breaking down the Bengals offense.
If you think Melroy was in your corner before her, not anymore. Not anymore.
We're done, Meadow. All right, it's over.
Listen, I put the facts out there. That's what I do.
I reported on the Jaguars. I'm not a fan, okay?
I just happen to know a lot.
Me think he doth protest too much.
I think the fat head of Mercedes Lewis, you know, should not
the fat head
should not be overlooked.
See, I think it'd be you that have the Mercedes Lewis fat head with tight ends.
He's never been associated with my fantasy team, so there's no reason for me to give him any love.
All right, before we say goodbye, I know we're going over on the show here, folks. It's free entertainment. It's like extra innings baseball. Why not? Or just another reason for you not to go to Giants.com, however you want to look at it. key to the game, for me at least, Lance, this week for the Giants is control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You got to get the running game going, finally, and you got to slow down Marshawn Lynch. If you put this game in the hands of Tavares Jackson, odds are he's not going to be able to beat you. Control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Don't make that big mistake. The Giants should be in great shape on Sunday.
I think if the Giants have that consistent pass rush that they showed the last couple of weeks since OC came back, I don't see why they can't limit Tavares Jackson. If you give him time to throw the football down the field, remember, don't underestimate this receiving core, even though it doesn't have a lot of big names. Sidney Rice can make plays, and Doug Baldwin, the undrafted rookie, leads the team in receptions and receiving yards. So he has some weapons that he can work with, but if they're in the face of Tavares Jackson all throughout the course of this game, they should be able to control the clock and win it, even if it's by a small margin. I still like the Giants.
All right, Meadow, excellent work as always. We'll review the picks and see how much further you have dropped behind on Monday morning.
Keep in mind, we've got the Monday game, so we can't rush to judgment when we do the show Monday morning.
Now, can we both reserve the right to switch our pick on the Monday night game if we have like a difference of opinion on Monday morning?
Well, what is this here? I mean,
I'm just saying
confidence?
we can make this deal right now, so we don't have this argument on Monday morning. It'll give us something else to talk about on the show.
I'll think about it over the course of the weekend.
Meadow, you make a decision, will you?
It adds some intrigue to Monday morning.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Great job on the phones. And, of course, don't forget October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month all across the NFL. You saw it last week. The Giant players and everybody were wearing the pink gloves, wristbands, socks, whatever, you name it, they had it on. So, of course, Giants will be doing a lot for breast cancer awareness this Sunday at Giant Stadium. When you come down, make sure you check out all that good stuff. And, of course, be tuned in to Giants.com all weekend long as we preview the Giants and the Seahawks preview report with Michael Eisen, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and myself. We'll hit the website tomorrow. And, of course, everything else all weekend long. And Lance will be on the air with the pregame show at 12:30.
Half hour before kickoff, that's
12:30 on Sunday morning, and he'll take your calls postgame as well. Mr. Meadow, good job as always. Thank you very much.
Pleasure as always.
Sure. And then smooth. we'll be back Monday morning on Giants.com, 9:30 to 10:30. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you then.